end of sales day, so everybody will be tired and wasted, and then I'm here with talk with sheets with full of text and some really interesting policy stuff combined with some technical questions. So that's a nice way to get you all asleep and not leaving Vosdem anymore. I'm Winfried Tilanus. I'm a privacy consultant. I'm also a member of the XMPP Standard Foundation. And I'm long term and more also at the brink between technology and policy. So I tend to look at acts from the European Union and things like that. And this act caught my eye. You may have heard about it because it also got some more news. It's a Digital Markets Act. And it says some interesting things because the European Commission can designate big companies as gatekeeper. And you have to think about Meta with WhatsApp and Facebook chat. You can think about Apple's chat, about Google's chat, Instagram. Maybe perhaps Telegram, because it has also quite big user base. But companies like that might be designated as gatekeepers. And when you're designated as gatekeeper, there's a process that will be in the second half of this year. After you've been designated, you have to open up your chat within 3 months. 2 years later, you must also open up your group chat. And 4 years later, you also must have your video and voice calling opened. And right now in the start, it's okay to open it by just publishing an API. But the European Commission, in all its wisdom, may decide to draft a standard for interoperability. And if they do so, then all these, the own API won't suffice anymore, then you have to follow that standard. And they also said that standard has to be drafted by a European standards organization. So it has to be the CEN or the ETSI. So also interesting. They say some more nice things about it. Because that API or that standard must have the same security features as the own product of the company. And it must be neutral, so it must not be crippled in such a way that nobody wants to use it or that there are some conditions to it that really puts it backwards compared to their own products. Well, I read this and I had a déjà vu. Because some years ago, the Dutch Ministry of Health had a problem with interoperable secure chat. So they asked for a standard about chat to make it interoperable and secure. And they gave that assignment to the NEN, that's the Dutch Standardization Institute, and I happened to be chairing the working group drafting that standard. So I went in all kind of things and questions and things that happened there, so I thought, why not combine my two experiences of this experience with what the European Commission is aiming at, and let's have a look on what we are dealing with. Well, when I think about the European Commission, it's about the question, what do you mean by secure? Vendor A says, we are secure, because we offer the best end-to-end encryption in the world. Nobody can eavesdrop. This is the most secure solution you have. Vendor B says, we monitor all communications and filter all harmful content. So everybody is safe on this platform. Yes. Well, tell me. Well, let's put your hands. Would you think A is the most secure one? We think B is the most secure one. Nobody. But this, even the European Commission is sometimes aiming at security like B. So there's a big misunderstanding about what do you mean by secure. And it was kind of difficult to add A to B, isn't it? And end-to-end encryption does have its drawbacks, because both clients must support the same end-to-end protocol. So you can't have one do end-to-end encryption based on the Matrix or OpenPGP and the other one on OpenWhisper or something like that. It must be the same, and it was with all the key exchange and everything. And spam detection, harmful content detection, we may like it or we may not like it, it is a thing, and it is an important part of the security model of some platforms. And there's also one interesting thing that I thought about. Well, nice end-to-end encrypted platform opens up with a nice API. I can connect to that API. That API is also end-to-end encrypted. Before it was open, they had their own clients that sent and received the message. So they knew what was injected into the network. And it was in such a way that nothing went wrong when it was received by the client. But now I can write my own client, maybe even a fuzzing client or something like that, and inject whatever I want into the network. So they may even get a security risk because they can't monitor, can't filter out all the nice attacks I inject into the network. So that might be quite interesting. And end-to-end encryption may also have intellectual property issues. When there's some proprietary encryption protocol that a vendor bought a nice license to, like WhatsApp did, then they may say, well, here's the API, this is the protocol, and if you want to use it, buy your own license. Well, that's an interesting business case for Moxie Marlinspike. So there's quite a bit of issues of already ones being secure. Oh, that was going too fast. What's really important here to understand, this is a political decision. The European Commission must say what they mean with secure and how end-to-end encryption would fit in that picture. If they don't and try to push it to a standardization organization, then it will be mayhem. And I can tell from my own experience, I can also reveal the standardization project in the Netherlands failed because they didn't define what they meant by secure. So, but we did come up with a standard in the Netherlands. It was for healthcare, so it is quite a specific use case. We standardized to secured servers. So the premise was that when a healthcare organization sets up a certain server or buys a certain SaaS server offer, that server was meant for this job and secured in a proper level. No end-to-end encryption, because some of them had a security model that relied on securing the data on the server and not keeping anything on the client. And the whole network between the whole all healthcare providers would be authorized, so it won't be an open network. And exactly that last point was where the project was killed, because some vendors wanted to have another direction there. And then the next question is, when you say interoperable with who? When you publish an API, is it sufficient to publish an API so a client can connect? Is that... Nobody knows. European Commission didn't say anything here. maybe when you read the law quite close, this is maybe not exactly what it meant, but they're not really clear about it. It would also mean that when you write a chat client, it would be interoperable with all vendors, that it needs to implement all those APIs. Or is it like we did in Dutch healthcare, is this a server-to-server with limited parties? So a walled garden of some systems that are interoperable with each other. Or is it really open federation? Server to server for whoever sets up a server and connects to it. No idea. But it's quite hard to start standardization process if you don't have any idea about what's happening here. And, oh, I'm good in time. Then there are the big question about functionalities. Because chat isn't just chat. You know, when you look at whatever chat client you use, you have all nifty features, starting with slash me, and then repeating your this is your own nickname, up to all kind of fancy stickers being sent around, of emoji you can add to a message, and things like that. There are lots of functionalities that a chat can have. And certainly when you do end-to-end encryption, then you can't have the server in between translate it or say, well, I handle this in this way. That must then all be done by the clients. And that means that for all of these functionalities, you must make a choice about how you're going to handle it. Is this an obligatory functionality that must be part of the protocol, that must be implemented then by all clients? Or is it optional? And making a functionality optional means that you need to have something like service discovery. Or do you say, no, this is not part of the standard, and you don't have to be interoperable for this functionality? And, well, what are we talking about what kind of functionalities? almost. I did leave things out. mainly because there were things, for example, like service discovery, certain ways of connecting, how you standardize exactly the connection. I guess that's in the upper layer and not on the functionality layer that you have to choose. But this is the kind of things you're talking about when you start standardizing this. And I have nice time to discuss some of them. When you look at attaching an emoji to a message, well, you think emoji, that's part of the UTF-8 character set, so you can just say, this is the message, and then put this emoji to it. But some clients don't support all kind of emojis, either in sending or in receiving. They have only a limited set of emoji you can attach to a message. And also, well, to get something like that done, you maybe need some service discovery to check what emoji are available at the other client, and then you can tell your client, these are the emoji you can send. Or maybe you just send an emoji and notice it doesn't work. Not really the best way of interoperability. And then there's also something like, that was the wrong one, I need to tap another one, so you need to correct that one, or delete it from this, it was inappropriate to do this, so let's get it out. So when you start looking at attaching an emoji to a message, it just looks like a quite straightforward functionality. When you start thinking it through in an interoperability context, then it might be quite interesting, quite a nice thing. I also like the move notification. When you send a message to somebody on platform A, that you can